It's strange the things that you remember from when you were really young. I think one of the most vivid memories that I have in my life was on my fourth birthday, me and my young brother Sam sitting in my parents' living room, and I was just talking to him about how excited I was for the present that I was going to get that day. I was so excited because I knew that that present was something that was a big deal and it was exciting, and I was excited because I got to share it with my younger brother. Now, for those of you that don't know, Ian Bennett is my younger brother, and Ian Bennett and I have the same birthday 4 years apart. So that morning, I was excited to share the birth of my youngest brother, Ian, with my middle brother, Sam.
I first met Ian because he was a younger brother of this guy, who is an active FFA member, which I advised. It might surprise you to know that Ian was very quiet and shy when he was younger. My favorite early memory of Ian was when he attended his first leadership CDE. He was extremely nervous while he was waiting to go in and speak the FFA creed. I helped him by straightening his tie, and I thought to myself, he's got a really bright future ahead in the FFA. Boy, I was right. When he joined us at the high school FFA chapter, he served as a junior FFA officer and worked his way all the way up to chapter vice president. He served the district of our state as an area FFA officer and then became elected as the Georgia FFA state secretary. From his humble, nervous beginnings as a middle schooler in his first FFA competition, he went on to win multiple state CDEs and even won two national competitions in just one day.
Today, I'm just as excited to share Ian Bennett with you as I was to share him on my fourth birthday with my younger brother, because I know that Ian Bennett makes a difference in the lives of everybody that he meets.
Tonight, it is our honor to share with you for his retiring address entitled Dragon's Teeth and Arrowheads, my student and friend,
and my younger brother,
Ian Bennett.
If your life was perfect, what would it look like? Humor me for a second, be honest with yourself. If your life was perfect, if you could do anything, be anyone, what would that look like? A lot of us won't even think about it. The thought of perfection terrifies us. The idea that we could be successful scares us. We come up with so many excuses as to why it's never going to work. I'm not any good at math. People from my school, they don't really do CDEs. No one from my family has ever been to college, so why should I expect to go? So many people have a mentality that they won't be successful, and if we keep that mentality, that will always be true. But success requires but one reason, and that reason is you. You can do anything, be anyone, accomplish any goal that you set for yourself. You can do anything you want to do in this world. But at the end of the day, success in all aspects of life boils down to two things: persistence and focus. You see, a couple months ago, I was down in the great state of Virginia. Any Virginians in the house tonight? Yeah. So I was down in Virginia. It was right before the Virginia State FFA convention, and it was one of those rare off days as a national officer. So I had about 8 hours of free time with nothing to do, and I had never been to Virginia before, so I still had nothing to do. So I did what any person our age does when you don't know what to do, and I looked it up on the internet. And in looking around on the internet, trying to find something to do just outside of Blacksburg, Virginia, where I was at, I came across a website, and it told me about Cove Mountain. Now, Cove Mountain is a pretty interesting mountain in mountain terms. It's fairly standard. It's an average-sized mountain out in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia, but there's something different about it. You see, as the mountain was formed and as the rock underneath it compressed over time, a granite slab, a series of granite slabs, poked out along the ridge. It made a pretty cool jagged formation along the top that looks kind of like a series of teeth, the largest of which is 35 feet tall, 2 foot wide, and the locals call it the Dragon's Tooth. Now I'm going to be honest. I was reading about this on the internet, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, just the person I am, if I see something called a dragon's tooth and you tell me I can climb on top of it, I'm probably going to climb on top of it. And I had nothing to do, so I was like, well, all right, let's go. So I go out there the next morning, and I did a little bit of reading on that website beforehand to make sure I knew what was going on. And there was a little, you know, section that explained how to get out there, where the trail started, whatnot. And then right at the bottom of the webpage, there was just a brief little warning that I didn't really pay attention to. And it said something like, you know, you'll probably have to climb on your hands and feet over some rocks to get to the top of this mountain. And I was thinking, yeah, that makes sense. This is a rock on the top of the mountain. And paid no more attention than that. And so I get out there the day of, I park my car, I get out. And before you even get on the trail, there's a big, giant, complicated warning sign. And now this probably should have been the moment where I realized that something was up, but I didn't. I barely read it, I barely paid attention, to be honest to you, but it said something along the lines of, this is an advanced trail. Please make sure that you have plenty of water, food, and time to get back down from the mountain. Again, this trail is not for beginners. I ignored all of that and set on down the trail. I figured it would be good, and for the first 2 miles, I was right. I knew it was a beautiful June morning in the state of Virginia. I followed a creek up a mountainside. I wandered through a meadow at one point. I mean, it was awesome. It was great. But about 2 miles in, I come to the Appalachian Trail. And for those of you who aren't from the East Coast and you don't hike a lot, which is probably most people, the Appalachian Trail is one of the largest hiking trails in the world. It goes from the state of Maine to the state of Georgia, and it's roughly 2,200 miles long. This trail is no joke. And so I get to the Appalachian Trail, I take a turn to the right, and as soon as I get there, there's a second warning sign. Now I know what you're thinking. At this point, I probably should have realized that something was up. I didn't. I read this one. It said, warning, the trail is about to become extremely steep and rocky. If you are unprepared, please turn back now. I did not turn back. I went down the trail a little bit, I kept going, and probably about a half a mile down the trail, I come to a big series of rocks and climbed over those, got to the other side, and figured it was kind of a one-time thing. Kept on going a little bit, and after a couple hundred yards past that, I came to a really cool-looking cliff. So it was basically, there was a big cliff wall on your right side, the trail was kind of winding around the edge of the mountain. There was a ledge that you could walk out onto, there were some woods on the other side, and then the cliff continued on down the mountain. So I'm thinking I crossed this ledge, get to the other side, and there's more trail over there somewhere. So I go over there, and it just dead ends into the woods. Just nothing. So I was like, okay, this is odd. So I start looking around, trying to figure out what to do. And about halfway up this cliff, somebody has painted a little white up arrow. And I was thinking, like, very funny. A bunch of people must get lost right here. So I kept looking for a second, couldn't find anything. So I was like, well, I guess I can climb this cliff. I don't know. I didn't know what else to do, so I climbed this cliff and got to the top, and sure enough, somebody thought it was a good idea to build a trail up a cliff. And so I get there, and when I got to the top, this trail got way worse. I mean, I went from hiking a trail to climbing a mountain. There was big rocks, it was very steep, and I was like, this is a lot more than what I expected to get out of this. But I kept on going, I went a little further on, and I came to a second cliff. And at this point, I was like, okay, this is a little much, but let's climb the second cliff. I get to the top, and I was standing there. I was really like this, trying not to pass out, but I'm standing there on the top of the second cliff, and I was like, this is awful. I, like, just quit, Ian. It's all good. No one knows you're up here. You're not going to tell anybody about this. Just quit. Leave. Go back to the house. It'll be fine. But I was like, no, I don't want to quit. I want to get to this dragon's tooth thing. This is going to be cool. So I kept on going. This trail was way worse after the second cliff. I mean, I was scrambling over boulders, sweating, panting. I was almost out of water, didn't bring any food at all. I broke a sweat 2 cliffs ago. I mean, it was rough. And so I kept on going, and I come to a third cliff. Somebody lied on the internet, believe it or not. I don't know if this person just never had hiked this trail or somebody told them about it and they thought it would be cool to make a website. I don't really know. But this person very clearly had never been on this trail, because you don't just miss these 3 cliffs. It's not like they took the other way and didn't see them. I don't know how you gloss over 3 cliffs on your description of a trail, but this person had never been there, and I was not very happy with them at the moment. But I was pretty close, and I was like, you know what? I can almost see the top of this mountain. I've put in this much work. I've gone this far. Let's go ahead and get there. I know it's hard to get what I want, but let's go ahead and get there. So I climbed another cliff. Kept on going. A little bit further on past that, I got real close to the top. You see, after three cliffs, 3 hours of my life, 6 miles and 1,500 feet of elevation gain, I learned that persistence is the path to the Dragon's Tooth. I made it to the Dragon's Tooth, and man, what a view it was. You see, it's not easy to get what we want in life. Sometimes it's going to be hard. But persistence is the path to success. You see, persistence is consistent effort towards what we want to accomplish. That means showing up every single day, not only when it's easy, not only when we feel like it. Persistence means finding a way to be successful even when it's hard. Some of us quit every time things get hard. The very first cliff we come to, the first challenge we face, we quit. We find a different way, we make an excuse, we change our mind, we quit. Don't quit when things get hard, go through it. On the other side of hard times is success. If you want to be successful, you must do what is hard. It is hard to study a total of 10 hours to pass a math test. It is hard to practice every single day for 6 months to win a national level CDE. It is hard to graduate from college, I know, but it is worth it. You can do it. You have what it takes, but it takes persistence. Persistence is not only the path to the Dragon's Tooth, but persistence is the path to success. You see, when I was a little kid, I used to love shooting competition archery. There's just something about being able to grab a bow, put an arrow on the string, draw back, shoot it, and hit the target that's just so satisfying. See, I started shooting archery at a really young age. I was probably about 8 or 9 when I first started shooting. And one of the first archery tournaments I ever shot in almost didn't even happen. You see, I had joined a local team. They were kind of setting me up, and I was just barely big enough to shoot the smallest archery equipment that they had. And, you know, we're going through practices and whatnot, and the coaches were like, hey, in a couple months, there's a tournament that's coming up, and they kind of explained the way it worked. They said it was a FIDA-style archery tournament, which is basically the international standard in archery tournaments. It's your standard round target with rings on it. The outside ring is worth 1 point. Inside ring is worth 10 points. You're trying to score as many points as possible. You shoot a total of 36 arrows at 3 different distances. In that tournament, I was going to shoot 20, 30, and 40 meters. Now, I heard all this from my coaches, and I was like, you know, that's doable. I had shot 20 meters a bunch. I had sort of shot 30 meters. I'd never really shot 40, but I wasn't all that worried about it. And so to be able to take the same bow and the same arrows and hit targets at different distances, you have to have what's called an adjustable sight. And so there's a lot of different styles, but the one that I was using at the time had 3 different pins on it, or 3 different dots that you used to aim with. Each one was for a different distance. And so for me to be able to shoot in this tournament, I had to make sure that those were accurate. So that's what I was doing leading up to the tournament. And it took me probably a day, and I got 20 meters nailed in perfect. I mean, I could hit it every single time. I got to 30 meters, and it took me a little while, but I got there. And finally, I got to my third and final pin. I was trying to figure out how to shoot 40 meters, and I couldn't even do it. It wasn't that I was bad. I literally could not shoot an arrow that far. You see, I was so small that I couldn't shoot a bow that was big enough or strong enough, and my arrows were too heavy that they wouldn't go all the way to 40 meters. And it was too close to the tournament. We're about 2 weeks out. I couldn't go get lighter arrows that would fly farther. I couldn't go get a different bow that would shoot the thing faster because I couldn't shoot one, and I was in a tough spot. So I went and I talked to my coaches, and I was like, I have no idea what to do. And so we started talking about it, and we're going through different things at practice, and then we came up with a plan. So before, when I was at 40 meters, I would put my pin on the center of the target. I'd shoot the arrow, and it would fly and hit the dirt about 2 feet short every time. So instead of aiming at the center of the target and knowing that I'm not going to hit it, I raised my sights a little bit. I aimed higher, about 2 feet over the top of the target, and I could hit the center pretty much every time. And now this worked fairly well. I mean, I was just kind of aiming at the air at that point, but it worked. So we show up to the tournament the day of, and we're sitting in the safety briefing, they're kind of explaining the rules, because apparently they didn't want anybody to get shot at this archery tournament, I don't know. But so they're explaining the rules, and they kind of go over everything, how it's going to work, and they say that At this tournament, we're going to start on 40 meters, so the first thing that you're going to shoot. And I was like, man, that's not good. I mean, it was the one thing in the tournament that I didn't want to do. I could shoot 20 meters, I could shoot 30 meters, but man, I didn't even know if I could hit the target at 40. 40 meters is a lot when you're 8. That's 44 yards for those of us who don't speak in meters. That's almost half a football field. That's a long way to shoot an arrow. That's a hard target to hit. And so I walked up to the line, the very first arrow I ever shot at a competition archery tournament. I didn't even aim at the target. I walked up to the line, I grabbed my bow, I knocked an arrow on the string, I drew my bow back, put the targets in my sight, and then I aimed at something else. And in that moment when I was trying to aim at a target that I couldn't even see, I realized something. Focus is critical to our success, but we got to be focused on the right things. So many of us focus solely on the target, the end result of our goals. And to an extent, we have to be. If we don't know what we're aiming at, I don't know how in the world we expect to hit anything at all. But there's more to it than that. In that archery tournament, I couldn't aim at the target. I couldn't even really see it anymore. It didn't matter what I was aiming at. The most important thing was what I was doing. I had to focus on where I was at and what I was doing. You see, success in life is a process. It's a series of steps. And to find success within that process, we must focus on what we are doing. Being successful in life, it is vastly more important to focus on what you are doing. We've got to take this thing one step at a time. Shoot one arrow at a time. You see, we have to shoot all of our arrows to win an archery tournament. I'm not arguing with you there, but the most important arrow that you shoot in an archery tournament is the one you're shooting right now. The arrows you already shot, they don't matter anymore. You can have failed over and over and over and over again. You can have put every single arrow in the dirt. It doesn't matter anymore. If we focus on this arrow and shooting it correctly, we are one step closer to getting where we want to go. The arrows that we haven't shot yet, they don't matter either. The big challenges ahead of us do not matter unless we accomplish what is in front of us right now. Focus on what you need to do in this moment. What do you need to focus on right now to be successful? You focus on that, and you will find success. Because you see, at the end of the day, success in all aspects of life boils down to two things: persistence and focus. It's not easy. The things in life worth getting are hard to get. And there's going to be a lot of people try to talk you out of your dreams. They'll tell you that it's too hard, that you can't do it, that you aren't good enough. But you can do this. You are good enough. If you have a dream, if you have something that you want to accomplish, be persistent in your pursuit of it and focus on what you need to do to get there. Be persistent in your pursuit of success because our dreams don't always have an address. If you focus on what it takes to get there, you can go anywhere. Don't let our failures turn us away, because even if we make mistakes, really, at the end of the day, the message that I want to convey is that, yes, it is easier said than done, but be persistent, be focused, and know that you are the one.